sensor development and positioning for efficient irrigation in the inherently variable agricultural field. The work was done, I present it, but as you can see in here, there are many cooperators. It starts with Naftali here. It was part of his, see how many years I work on it, because this was part of his PhD. And then Effie and Sharon is here also. And then Naftali came back to the picture and became a joint instructor for Sharon. And then Iran, and then Alon Ben-Gad that became also a joint instructor for Ehud Zeevim. So it's a kind of teamwork, and I'm sure that the all the guys here do a better job than I do. It's known. I mean, I'll not go in details in here, but it's known that the inputs in agriculture are inefficiency. We irrigate, we fertilize, we add the ag chem inefficiently. The reasons are that the agricultural field is highly variable, especially moisture, properties, cultivation history, climate, crop. Everybody knows it. It's true also when you need to apply, you have the temporal changes. So this is kind of a changes of corn along the season and changes along the day, and when we need to decide how much to irrigate or to fertilize, we don't know. Another problem, a major problem, is that the roots are our real customers. We need to feed them, we need to supply them. The problem is that the root is hidden, and although they are set to intercept and to get what we give them, still they consist of, we argued yesterday if it is 1% or 2% of the soil volume, and they don't do it efficient enough. And the results of all these, on top of it, the soil is unorganized media. We don't understand it fully. I can say, I think that I can claim that after 100+ years of soil science, we don't have a complete model, a complete understanding of the soil. For sure, we don't know how to combine physics with anisotropy and with heterogeneity. We don't know what the impact of the roots on the flow in our solutions. We don't know how to add the microbiology to the soil physics. And of course, we don't know anything on how to incorporate the complicated chemistry to all this. So we don't know. And we don't know, it's very difficult to measure and very difficult to predict. We need to say the processes are very slow. Because the flow is very slow, it's very difficult to measure it. So at the end, we know that first that if we do measure, we usually don't represent properly the field. And the total result is that we irrigate really inefficiently, the same with fertilizer, the same with ag chem, the same with all agricultural inputs. Just to say, to note how important it is, if we know that 70% of the water that we consume is used in irrigation, and if we know that water is in shortage in the world, it's very clear where we need to invest. And we are not efficient. I can summarize this part of the talk and say that farmers irrigate now for about 4,000 years. And I think that after 4,000 years, farmers don't have good answer for the two main questions. When to irrigate and how much to irrigate. We have in our fields, in our experiments, we have better solution than that. But if we go out to the field, we don't have it. And the result is this very poor efficiency. So, if we want to develop a better method, we need to, of course, we need to understand, and we need sensors. And then the questions, well, and then the questions are what to measure, the soil, the plant, the climate, the combination of the above, which property, what property we should measure, what property we can apply reasonably, where to measure, I said it before. And remember that if you want something that will be good also for the farmers, it needs to be efficient, it needs to be reliable, it needs to be simple, it needs to be to be under the economical constraints. It needs to be with minimum calibration, which is a huge problem, and minimum maintenance. Because if we need a lot of calibration for each point that we measure, and we need maintenance, then it's not efficient, it's not economical, it's not simple, and at the end, it's not done. This is the fact. So you may ask, so how do we irrigate? So we irrigate with a lot of experience that we gained, a lot of experimental experience that we gained. And it's not bad, maybe, after 4,000 years, but, well, you can say it also on a grandma farmer. I mean, we've collected it, but at the end it's not enough. We need to have better science in that. I'll try to present you a solution. It's a solution. I didn't ask it. A solution and one example of application, but the solution can be wider from the application. So, it's very clear that we need sensor. And the sensor that we choose is a tensiometer. Why a tensiometer? Because with tensiometer you have minimum calibration. You measure directly a property of the system. The tensiometer that I show here is made of geotextile, and in here inside we have a membrane that is connected, tied to this geotextile, and that eliminate the air entry. And this small tube that you see here is connected to pressure transducer for measurements. So this is the basic sensor that we use. And I jump directly to the next stage, just to show you. But when you apply this kind of sensor, and if you apply it in places that there is water and nutrients, the root grow into it. So you have a sensor that the root grow into it, and now you can measure actual response to root activities. That's the whole idea. You can see that these are roots of, in this case, it's a corn, but you'll see more. I'll show you a few more. This is a sunflower. Sunflower roots on the same geotextile, the same kind of tensiometer. And these are roots of table grapes after only a month and a half in the field. I can tell you that we expose it again, and now it's loaded with more roots. But the root, they grow into this tensiometer. So we have in the soil, we have a sensor that the root, the plant, grow into it very intimately. Now the question is where to position it. And this was done by Sharon. He will present other aspects of his PhD, but this was done by him too. We checked, and by Naftali, we checked the influence of location on the intensity of the signal and on the noise, and its results on how much we need to irrigate in order to get the proper results, and reliability, the standard deviation or the CV. What you can see here if we set the sensor really by the dripper, the efficiency and the viability and the reliability of the system is much higher. No question. If we ask ourselves, where are the points that we know how they'll behave during irrigation, assuming the viability of the soil, then one of them will be just nearby the dripper, and the other one will be probably far away where the soil is dry, but then it's not interested. The problem with having the sensor just near the dripper is that in there, we may have problems with conditions also because of back pressure, as I was saying before, or because of other things. But if we, and you'll see it in a minute, if we use the geotextile to envelop the dripper, then we have a controlled source from the dripper, which is the geotextile, which is the tensiometer. So we have just on the tensiometer, on the dripper, we have a new source that sets very exact source size, and in there, as you can see here, the noises, because of any, doesn't matter what, are reduced. So, what we have with that, you can see it here. You can see here drippers. And on each dripper, you see this envelope of the geotextile tensiometer just on the dripper itself. When you do it, first you have, you minimize the viability of the soil because we measure in a controlled artificial, you can call it media, the geotextile. The disturbance of the measurement throughout the process is minimum because it goes into the soil. And now we need the last question is how we measure the entire field. So what we do is first each point of measurement is made of several. It's a cluster of these kind of tensiometers, and we connect them all in one transducer in parallel. So all this row, and it can be longer than that, or it can be with other rows as well, has one single output that represents the entire area. Now, because it's so cheap, it costs cents or a dollar, it's nothing, then we can have several of them around the field. We can connect those different places also either with the water, if we connect them with the parallel, then we have a single reading for the entire field, or if the field is too large and it's impossible to do it with water, remember that they are under negative pressure or under vacuum, so we use electronics to combine them. But each point is made of several of these tensiometers. Okay, alongside me that my time is over, what I want to say is that this is the main principle. Now, algorithms that you use, how to use those kinds of measurements, it can. I develop this one. You can. We can develop others. That's okay. But we have good representation of the field, real time, all the time. What you see here is just what we do. I'll add it because it's very important for the. We also maintain it. It's very easy to get rid of the air in those tensiometers by an automatic system. We simply push the air with water through the membrane, out, and we can do it every day or every week. It depends on the situation. And then usually in the method that I'll show you now and very quickly, we have a night irrigation. Then we let the water to infiltrate. And we set a critical point for the irrigation that will serve for the next day for the irrigation. I don't have time to say it in more details, but if anybody asks questions privately or together, I can show it. And let me just show you that if you use the difference of the response of the system in hot day and in warm day, consecutive days, and you can see the response. You can see the response between seedling, ground crops, and And this is post-harvest, and you ask why you have irrigation at after harvest. Well, if you let the water, if you don't turn off the water, you still have evaporation. So you have something. That's you remember those daily and the seasonal changes. You can see this is the daily response, and this is the seasonal response. And I'll say we have checked it with many crops, as you can see here. You can see here conditions, crops, and the climate. And with all of them, we get either. We always get some water saving and some yield increase, some water saving and some yield decrease, and this is all done with best farmers. I mean, the comparison is always with best farmers, and I didn't say it, but I'll say it now. With this algorithm, the way we work is very simple. We set the system learns the infiltration, learns the soil practically, and we don't need to. We don't decide anything ourselves. The system simply works by itself from the beginning to the end. And thank you.
Thank you, Rory.